Say the police go to a residence for a domestic violence call. If officers determine one of the parties is a danger to themselves or others, they can take that individual's guns, right there. When the dust settles, the owner gets a hearing in front of a judge to try and get their guns back. This is known as the Red Flag Law, which has gained national attention in the aftermath of February's mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, that left 17 dead. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham told CBS's Face the Nation Sunday that he would be introducing legislation resembling the measure later this week.
I hope the president will get behind this because it worked in Indiana, and that's where we're modeling our law off the Indiana
Very
law.
Indiana's red flag law was established in 2006 after an Indianapolis police officer was shot and killed by a man with schizophrenia. The shooter previously had his guns taken away before a hospitalization, but there was no law stopping him from getting them back after his release. Indiana is one of five states with this law currently on the books. Allen County has been applying the law since 2015. Deputy Prosecuting Attorney Adam Mildred says the New Haven Police Department was the first to apply the practice.
They had taken action, and they needed to file it with the court, wherein we prepared the document for the court's consideration, and it began the process.
Since 2016, Allen County has tackled an estimated 60 to 75 red flag cases. Critics of the law say it's too subjective and threatens the due process rights of the gun owner. On what grounds would an officer have to determine a gun owner is dangerous or unstable, and as a result, retain a legally owned firearm without a warrant? Mildred says the law walks a delicate line between public safety and individual property rights, but emphasizes that an individual's due process rights are protected at every turn.
The agency itself bears the burden of proof at all of the stages except the very last one.
Lieutenant Terry Mays has served on Fort Wayne's crisis intervention team since 2001. He says his team encounters these situations 5 or 6 times per year, and officers have to use their best judgment when they first decide to seize a firearm.
What we're looking for is that immediate threat, the imminent danger that someone poses to themselves or someone else, and do they have either a firearm readily available to them? Do they have it on their person at that moment? Or is it easily accessible within the home? And if it is, then we are justified in taking it without a warrant.
Mildred says this determination by officers has to be justified in writing as an affidavit and filed immediately with the court, kickstarting the legal process. Allen County Superior Court Judge Fran Gull presides over most red flag cases. She says she reviews the affidavit and then determines whether or not to pursue further action.
If I find probable cause to believe that the person fits the statute's definition of a dangerous individual, I authorize the police to retain the weapons that were seized until further order of the court, and then I schedule it for an evidentiary hearing. Usually it's within about 2 weeks of the seizure.
The individual is notified of the evidentiary hearing and gets their day in court. The police department presents its information, while the gun owner makes their case on why they should have their firearms returned. Gull says as a human, she cares. That's why, once the case is resolved, she approaches each respondent with compassion, hoping they've received the help that they need.
I say, you know, you intersected with my world in the worst possible day of your life, and I'm concerned how you're feeling. What are you doing for your mental health? Are you taking care of yourself? And inevitably, they tell me, yeah, that was a really bad day. I was drinking a lot, or I was under the influence of drugs, but I'm talking to somebody now.
Since local law enforcement views red flag cases as civil and not criminal, many gun owners will see their firearms returned. What happens when Gold determines a person isn't quite ready?
I'm required to order the police department to retain custody of those weapons until further order. I also then notify the Indiana State Police that if they have any license to carry a handgun, that license be suspended until further order of the court.
Mildred also said the gun owner can agree to have the firearm sold by the county at auction, and the owner can receive no less than 92% of the profit from the sale. The police department and prosecutor's office agree the law has been effective since the county began applying it, but it hasn't existed without its obstacles. In 2013, Robert Reddington sued the state, alleging the statute was unconstitutional.
I'm not just talking about the United States Constitution. The Indiana Constitution also has specific protections for both firearm possession and also due process and equal protection property rights.
The law was upheld by Indiana's Court of Appeals, thus withstanding its only legal challenge to date. The court ruled that Reddington's due process rights were honored through the statute. With Graham citing Indiana's red flag law as the inspiration behind his national proposal, can this law be replicated at the federal level?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're doing it here. There's no need for the federal government to reinvent the wheel. If they want to come look at our statute and look at our process, I'm a big proponent of don't reinvent the wheel if there's something out there that's working. And this is working.
I believe so. Any time that we can take that immediate threat, whether it be the individual and or a weapon they have access to, anytime we can remove that immediate threat to someone else or themselves, it's got to be effective.
Mildred was slightly more conservative, saying states could easily implement these measures themselves without waiting on the federal government to do so. As far as Allen County is concerned, he says the law has been effective and assures residents that local police departments honor the delicate balance between public safety and individual property rights.
The officers are making contact with these folks in those circumstances with multiple objectives. One, this person needs to be safe. The people around them need to be safe. But also, there is no police officer that I know that takes those oaths that isn't a patriot. And they believe in the very Constitution that they're sworn to protect as well.
For WBOI News, I'm Zach Bernard.